Welcome to By His Grace Podcast. I am your host, Misty Phillip, and today I am excited to introduce you to my new friend, Asherita Chuchu. Asherita, welcome to the By His Grace Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Misty. It's my joy to be here.
Thank you so much. I'd like you to introduce yourself to my audience and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, like you said, my name's Asherita, and I grew up as a missionary kid in Romania, and I met my now husband there in sixth grade. So we're, I guess you could say, junior high sweethearts. Uh-huh. And we have three children, ages 6 to 1, and we live in Northeast Ohio right now. So a few years ago, I started writing, blogging at onethingalone.com, and it has been such a wild ride to see how the Lord has brought together this community of women who love Jesus, who want to spend time with Him, who understand the struggles of making time for quiet time, and yet we want to fight for finding joy in Him. So, it's been a privilege to serve this community of readers with several books, and I'm excited to talk with you today and to share with your listeners more about how we can make time for quiet time, even when, you know, the struggle is real.
Yeah. The struggle to get in the word, when you have, people that get up in the morning, especially if they get up before you do, and, start your day running, and or if you have multiple people, it can be quite a challenge. I know for me, I homeschooled my boys when they were young, and so they were always home, and it was quite a challenge to get us all in the Word, to get us grounded for the day. So let's talk about some ways that you have found. What does that look like in your life?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a Christian family, and, you know, my dad was a pastor and a missionary, and from a very early age, I grew to love the Lord and want to spend time with Him, and as a teenager would just spend hours journaling and doing inductive Bible study. I was a bit of a geek that way. But then as I got married and had kids, I realized, this is a lot harder now. Like, I don't have 2 hours of uninterrupted time to sit down and really dig into scripture. And so I kept putting it off until I would, you know, like once my baby, starts sleeping through the night, then I'll be able to do it. Or, you know, once they stop teething, then life will calm down. And I realized it was just constantly putting it off, waiting for that perfect time and place. Because there's never a perfect time and place. There will always be challenges. There will always be something. So a few years ago, I had read of this Chinese Christian toward the turn of the century in the early 1900s who had said, no Bible, no breakfast. He had proposed that if he does not first read scripture, he will not feed his body until he has fed his soul. And I thought, that is really cool, like a built-in way to remind yourself so that you never forget. But as busy moms, we don't really need another reason to skip breakfast. Like, sometimes it's hard enough to feed ourselves anyway with everything that's going on. And so I decided, what if I did Bible and breakfast? What if I linked this desire to read scripture, to be in God's word, while I eat breakfast, which is an already established habit? And while my two girls were younger, I would try to do this, you know, sometimes they'd sleep in, so I'd try to do it on my own, but I'd get frustrated when they'd wake up and interrupt my quiet time, even if it was just a few minutes. And so this past year, I kind of gave up on this idea of quiet time, and I'm using air quotes, and I said, instead, let me welcome my children into Bible and breakfast. Let us do this together. I want to model for them a hunger for God's word so that when they grow up and leave our home, they have this built-in habit of reading the Bible as well. So over the last few years, I had invited my readers on the blog to join me in 2016 and to do 31 days of Bible and breakfast in the month of October. And we had over 1,000 women join us that first week and go through And we got to share some fun breakfast recipes and share our takeaways from what we've been reading in the Word that day. And it was just amazing, Misty. Such an incredible experience.
That's wonderful. I think the table is the perfect place to disciple your children. I know that my husband grew up in a home where they spent hours around the table every evening after dinner talking about everything from culture to religion to everything. Mm-hmm. And so we have modeled that for our children as well. And so we talk about our faith. We read the Bible together as a family. And it is just such a great place to nourish both your body and your soul. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the point of your book, which I love. And as I was looking through your book, I love the fact that you are an inductive girl, because I'm an inductive girl too. But or the busy mom on the go, you've got it broken down into like a snack bite-sized portion or mm-hmm. a feast at the table, which I loved. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So this was born out of my own struggle, right? Because I am an inductive Bible study girl, but that mentality of all or nothing, like I either have a full half hour to dig into this text and do observation and word studies and cross-references and all of these things, like I either do that or I don't do anything. And so there's this like feast or famine mentality when it comes to Bible study. I don't know if you've experienced that, but
absolutely,
definitely true in my own life.
Yeah. And even in my teaching of my Bible study, which is an inductive kind of study, you know, I'll find that women will come at the beginning and they'll be hungry for the word. And then as the weeks go on, they start dropping off because I feel like they feel like their life's too busy. They can't devote 100% to it. And so then they just don't come at all. And my philosophy is if you just come, you're going to get something. But that's why I really liked the way you've done this, is because it's no guilt. Like mm-hmm. come to the table and you can receive something.
Yeah. So my desire is to help women establish a habit of being in God's word every day during breakfast. And it doesn't matter if that is 2 minutes or if it's 2 hours. And so I looked at, like I said, I'm kind of a geek. So I'm keeping up on, you know, recent breakthroughs in behavior science and in brain development, and how exactly as humans do we develop habits. And there's this concept of a tiny habit, which is if you want to do something, say you want to work out, or say you want to do 100 push-ups, you want to get to the point where you do that. Start with one, right? If you want to develop the habit of flossing your teeth every night, start by flossing one tooth. And it sounds ridiculous to say, oh, it's that tiny of a habit, but there's something in our brains that we think, oh, we make it out to be this mountain, like it's unachievable, it's too big, it's too hard. But when you break it down to something tiny, your brain kind of gets tricked into saying, oh, well, that's not that hard. I can do that one thing, right? And right. once you floss one tooth, you're more likely to floss the rest of them. But even if you don't, even if you just stick with that one, you count it as a win and you develop that habit one day after another until it's developed. And then you can do tooth teeth or three teeth. So kind of taking that concept to Bible study and saying sometimes when we want to start a quiet time habit or a Bible study habit, we think, oh, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. So I'm going to read 3 chapters a day, or I'm going to do this inductive study every day. And we start out strong, but there's resistance that develops throughout time when our brain says, hold on, this is too hard. I'm just going to put on Netflix and chill. And so instead, if you break it down to a tiny habit and you say just 2 minutes in the Word, I'm going to read a psalm while I brush my teeth. I did that for a year. Every morning I would brush my teeth. My Bible was out on the bathroom counter and I would just read one psalm while I'm brushing. If you read one verse while you eat breakfast, if you listen to the audio Bible while you walk the dog, breaking it down into a tiny habit and then attaching it to an already established habit like breakfast, brushing your teeth, walking the dog, morning commute, whatever it is, you will be more likely to be consistent and to really establish that habit in your life. So that's where this concept of a snack in scripture came in to say, okay, if you don't have time for a full inductive study, which is what I call the feast, and it's a method I developed. There's a letter for each of the steps, F-E-A-S-T. So if you don't have time for that, then at least do the snack every day. And if you do the snack for 31 days, I guarantee you, you have established that habit. And then on the days you have more time, linger at the table, sit with God's word, let him give you a whole feast in his word. But don't let that be an impediment. Start with a snack if that's all you have. Start with that tiny habit, and you'll build that consistency of meeting God every morning and his word. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And that's what I want for everyone listening today.
I love that. When my third child was born, that's when I really began to feel the struggle to really get in the word. And so what I did was I put my Bible by my nursing chair, and always had a little stack of devotions there. And at different places around the house, I would stage things kind of like you with the bathroom, and you just get it in when you can. And you're right. The more you snack on God's word, the more you have an appetite for it. And let me, for somebody who's on the other side of things now with grown and growing children, you know, you do end up having more time as they grow, or you get up earlier because you want to be in the word. And, but establishing those good habits, just is, I always say, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. You don't look at the whole, not that we eat elephant, but I'd much rather eat the yummy, recipes that you have in this book. So were these recipes that you developed yourself or?
Yeah, these are all, our family favorites. Okay. And I grew up in the kitchen with my mom. So some of them are family recipes that are handed down. Some of them are recipes that I stumbled on over the years, and just I've adapted them to my family's preferences and what we like to eat. It was important to me to have wholesome recipes that are rich in protein and whole grains and low in sugar, and to pair them with fresh fruits and vegetables. But then, I mean, let's be realistic. I don't have time to cook from scratch every morning for every breakfast. And so there are a lot of tips in the recipes for how to plan ahead, how to maybe freeze, batch cook, and then put them in the freezer so that they're easy to grab and go. Every recipe in here is something that my active husband and children would be thrilled to eat. So that is my promise to you. I didn't put anything in here that is like your kids will declare mutiny at the breakfast table.
Well, when my boys were young, I established a habit of baking day, and they actually, where I would bake from scratch that day, kind of whether it was bread or muffins or whatever that I wanted to have. And, because I'm a huge fan of batch cooking. And that was one of the ways that I was able to sort of establish a routine. And, but my boys ended up looking forward to baking day. And even though I had boys, some would think, but they were like, what are you baking today, Mom? You know, because they once a week I had baking day, and they would get involved, and I think that's such an important. I think there's so much that we can teach our children, not only around the table but in the kitchen. So, well done, my friend. You've done a really great job with this. So, tell me your website again, so that people that are not familiar with you can find you.
Sure. Well, all the information about the book you can find at BibleandBreakfast.com, and there are a lot of free resources on there and different goodies that will help you in establishing this habit. And then my main website and blog is at OneThingAlone.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a guest today. Thank you for sharing your heart for the Lord and for quiet time and fighting for that for other women. So I love the concept of Bible and breakfast, and excited for your book to come out. You said it's October 1st. Is that correct?
Yes, The book releases October 1st, and we are inviting women to join us in the month of October for 31 days of Bible and Breakfast. If you feel like you need a little encouragement and accountability to establish this habit in your own life, then you can grab a copy of the book. Join me on Instagram at Ashrita, and we're using the hashtag Bible and Breakfast, and we would love to have you join us in this Bible and Breakfast challenge.
Love it. Okay, so everybody, grab a copy of this book and start the challenge for October to do Bible and Breakfast. I love it. Okay, so you did mention a scripture, but one of the questions that I always ask my guests is, do you have a scripture that has really gotten you through the hard times of your life, or in struggling to find quiet time? Is there a particular verse, or even maybe a life verse? Because I know I've got a life verse, so I always want to know, what is your life verse?
Yeah, well, Psalm 16:11 would probably be my life verse that I shared earlier. An encouragement in those days where I do feel like I'm struggling is Psalms 42 and 43 together have this refrain that say, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Mm. And that is just so encouraging, you know, on the days where you feel guilty that you've missed quiet time and you feel that shame creeping in. I mean, that's from the enemy. But repeating this refrain and preaching to yourself, preaching to your soul, and say, okay, I'm downcast right now, but put your hope in God. I will yet praise him. That day will come. I will find joy in his presence. He will carry me through this. And with that is Jesus' words from Matthew. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Take my yoke upon me, because my burden is easy and my yoke is light." And I think that's an encouragement for any woman, any season of life that you're in, whether you have kids or not, whether you have a career or you're retired. If you are worried, if you are tired, if you feel heavy burdened, Jesus is saying, come to me, and I will give you rest.
Yes. Oh, that is a beautiful place to end this podcast. So thank you so very much. It was great to meet you, and I can't wait for the listeners to meet you as well.
Thank you so much, Misty. It was my joy to be here.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.